Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Listen, before we do anything, first we want to thank all of our visitors. Thank you guys so much for worshiping with us this morning. We're going to have words on both screens for you, so if you guys want to worship with us, you're free to do so. We invite you to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth as that may look for you. So if that looks like singing along, if that looks like waving your hands, if it looks like just standing in silence, you do whatever it is that gets your heart to the Lord. That's all right this morning? That's all right this morning? All right. That means our joy can still be alive. And some of us might be in a place where we feel like we've lost our joy, where we've lost our faith, where we lost our hope. But can I remind you of something this morning? that the same God that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, is the same power that can resurrect your joy. It's the same power that can resurrect your hope. It's the same power that can resurrect your healing. It's the same power that our God has always had and always will have. So this morning, can we do something a little different? No music, no drums, just our voices to our Father. Can we just sing that chorus together? Is that okay? Sing, you keep
hope alive. You keep hope alive from the beginning to end.
Because you're still King. We worship you because you're still holy. We worship you for keeping our hope alive, God. Thank you that we can take rest in you. Thank you that we can find solace in you, God. Thank you for being a God who keeps us, who covers us, who shields us, who protects us. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you.
So whatever he said to you, believe it. It's already done. How many believers do we have in the building? Come on and worship with us.
They say this mountain can't be . They say these chains will never break, but they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there's no way through. We've heard the time will never change. There is power in your name.
Because we're getting ready to proclaim together that we believe. If he said it, all we have to do is believe. He says it in many scriptures, just believe. If we only believe, the crippled man, the blind man, the woman who touched the Lord, the hem of his garment, she believed. It does not matter what it is today. Whatever you can believe God for, according to his will, is settled in heaven. You said, I believe. You said, it is done. You gotta sing with me.
You said,
come on, y'all.
I believe.
You said, it is done.
It is done.
Come on, tell the Lord.
You said,
I believe.
I believe.
Lord, you said, when he speaks, he's bound to his word. You've got to believe in your heart that if God made you a prophet, it's going to come to pass.
We believe for it.
You can stand on the word of God. Whatever the word declares for your life, it's going to happen. Say, God, we believe.
God, we believe for
move,
it.
Move the immovable.
Break the unbreakable.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe for
from the
it.
Impossible.
From the impossible.
See a miracle.
See a miracle. God, we believe.
Let's take it home.
God, we believe for it.
While his presence is still resting here, can we worship our King? Can we worship the God who can do exceedingly and abundantly? Can we worship the God that we can trust in? Can we worship the God that we can lean on? Can we worship the God that we can hold fast to? God, we believe you this morning, Jesus. Father, we believe you to do it. Whatever it may be, God, we believe you to do it. God, we believe you for it. We believe you for it. We believe you for it. We believe you for it now in the name of Jesus. We believe you for it. We still believe you for it. We still believe you for it. Oh, come on. This is for the real believers. We still believe you, God. We still believe in the word of the Lord. We still stand on that. We still stand on the truth. We still stand on that firm foundation. God, we believe you. You know, as Crystal was still ministering the song and she was bringing out all of these examples in the Bible of how the word of God always came to pass, I thought about two people. One being Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then Sarah. So in the book of Genesis, Sarah overhears a conversation that the Lord is having with her husband, and he tells them that they're going to have a child, and Sarah laughs. And Sarah's a lot like us, right? Where the Lord gives us a word and we feel like our circumstance is not conducive to his move. Lord, I can't have a child. I'm in my 90s. Lord, I can't get married. I'm still dealing with addiction. Lord, I can't have children. The doctors have told me that they've done everything that they can, and everything that works for me doesn't work for me. My situation is not a place for you to move. But here's what I love about our Father. Is that he uses those impossible things to make the greatest masterpieces. And so there's Sarah, and then with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel came to her and said, "You're gonna have a baby, Doc," her faith was different. She didn't question, she didn't ask anything. She said, "As you say it, may it be." Right? And so I can only imagine if we become a body of believers that really takes our God's word as his word. You know, because here's the thing, guys, people fail us, right? People let us down. And that's hard and that's tough because we confide in people. People are physical. We see them at face value. So we build a trust. We can trust the people. If we feel that we can trust a creation, why is it that we feel we can't trust our Creator? The one who knew our thoughts in this very moment before we were ever a thought in our parents' minds. The Father who saw us at our lowest, who will see us at our highest, who is still continuing to write our story. We can trust in Him. We can have faith in Him. We can say, rest assured that the same God who saw us through our darkest moments then will be with us until the end of the word. And here's what I love about the Bible is that the Bible always has something for our doubt. The Bible tells us in Numbers 23, verse 19, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, And will he not do it, or has he spoken and he will not make it good? So the question is, has God spoken and can't do what he said he would do? That's what I'm asking us this morning. Has God said something to you that you really don't think he can do? Have you forgotten who your father is? Your father is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. And let me tell you what that means. That means, baby, he can't let you down. It's impossible to hurt you. It's impossible for him to forsake you. It's impossible for him to leave you. So I dare you to take that same faith this morning, trusting that your God is with you. As the world stands against you, baby, he's got you. As the world falls against you, God has still got you. Yeah. Yeah, and there's glory in that. There's glory in knowing that he still got me. Even when I feel forgotten, he still got me. There's glory in the fact that no matter what I face, no matter what I deal with, the Father who sees me, Father who sits high and looks low, is always for me. He is always for us. So Father, this morning, God, we thank you. God, we thank you for being a father who cannot lie. We thank you for being a father who doesn't need to repent, because your word will never come back void. God, all of the things that your people are standing in the need of in this room right now, Father, even if they have forgotten promises that you've made, God, I ask that you not only bring it back to their remembrance, but Lord, also that you do what it is that you do, which is everything exceptionally perfect. God, I thank you that you are answering prayers right now as our worship goes up. And as we indulge into your presence, God, we thank you that you have not abandoned us, that you have not forgotten us, that you will never forsake us or leave us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, yeah, you can give it up for Jesus. Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. Listen, you guys can take a quick seat this morning. Thank y'all so much again for coming this morning, So, for you guys who may not know me, I'm Corey. It's just Corey. Corey is fine. There's nothing in front or behind. It's just Corey. But on behalf of our lead pastors, Pastor Wallace and Joy, we want to thank you guys so much for visiting us this morning, for worshiping with us this morning. We believe that God is going to do something exceptional. He's going to do something amazing. And we're so glad that you chose to be a part of it with us. Amen. All right. So just a few announcements. They're going to be behind the screen as well. I'm just going to go through them for you guys to say, Corey said you. So you know how some people be like, oh, you didn't tell me nothing. I didn't see that. Well, I'm telling you, and it's going to be behind you. Cool. Great. All right. So the first is, listen, this afternoon at 5 o'clock p.m., we're going to be having volunteer training for all those who volunteer or desire to volunteer. It's going to be in the Family Life Center at 5 o'clock p.m. this afternoon. So if you're already volunteering, if you're interested in volunteering, come on out. This is going to be a training, and it's open to everyone. Amen. All right. The next thing is, next Sunday, we are having water baptisms. That's something to be excited about. Here's why it's important to be excited about water baptisms. Water baptisms are our public declaration that we are a new creature. You know, the Bible tells us that once we receive salvation, the old us has passed away and the new one has been born, yeah? Well, this water baptism is our public declaration of saying, Lord, I'm telling my friends, I'm telling my family, I'm telling everybody I know that you are my Lord and Savior and that I am new in you. And so I challenge you and encourage you that if you are battling with it, you're not sure if, I don't know if I need to get baptized, or I don't know if I need to be baptized again. Listen, God will never punish your obedience. Amen. So baptisms are going to be next Sunday, April 30th at 10 a.m. Okay. All right. So guys, we are all y'all working with me. I appreciate it. All right. So the last announcement for this morning is, where are my men? Oh, my man. Wow. What's crazy is I'm looking at y'all and can't hear you. That's crazy. So we have a men's conference coming up in Manio, North Carolina. It's going to be on April 29th. If you are interested in going, please make sure that you see Joel Tapscott today. Joel, can you raise your hand? Joel is that cool guy right here. So make sure you guys get in contact with him if you're interested in the conference. Amen. All right, so the next part of our service we're going to move into is our worship through our giving. So behind me on the screen, you'll see a couple of ways that you guys can give. Here's what I've learned about giving to the Lord, right? So I grew up in church. My dad's a pastor. I've been in church my whole life. And I really didn't understand offering. Like, I didn't get it, because I was like, I remember I was maybe about 6 or 7 when I asked my dad. I was like, so help me understand. We pay, and then the Lord just like swoops in, takes money. and goes. He said, I'm a 7-year-old, bear with me. But he explains to me, the reason why we do this is because this is our way of saying, Lord, above everything, I put you first. So in my increase, I give back to you only a portion of what you gave. See, this is why we serve such a great God, because he only asks for a portion. He could ask for all of it. You know what I'm saying? But to know, to serve a God that's so gracious and so kind to us, that just asks, leave this portion aside for me. I think that's great. So as you all come and you can lay your tithes and offerings in the buckets on the altar before you, the team's going to come up and give another song. And feel free to worship with us, guys. Amen. You guys can come on up with your giving.
Amen. God, we come to you now. We just want to thank you. Thank you for not leaving us. Thanking you for making it possible when it seemed impossible. Amen. Thank you for being for us and not against us.
Don't know how, but you did it. You made a way.
I don't know. We thank you. We thank you for covering us, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, thank you for being all that we are not. Amen. God, you are awesome. You made a way when our back is always against the wall, Father God. We feel so lost and we feel so confused, Father. If that is you, it is okay. It is okay because he has you. He has you, I promise. He's gonna make a way out of no way for you. He makes that impossible possible. Hallelujah. 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 God,
cause you move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because in you come, you move mountains.
Hallelujah.
You cause walls to fall with your power.
Perform miracles.
Perform
Hallelujah. I don't know if you caught that last line or not, but it simply says, I'm standing here only because you made a way. Come on. How many of you remember when he made the way for you? Come on. To have peace in your heart, to have a settled spirit that you can lie down at night and sleep peacefully because he made a way for you. Come on. He made a way for you when you didn't know what in the world was happening in your life. Jesus Christ. Come on. He made the way. Thank God he said on the cross, it is finished. Come on, it's finished. Stand up, would you? Come on, stand up and worship God today. You move mountains. Come on, sing it one more time. You move mountains. Only because you made a way. You know what? You know what I feel in my spirit this morning? There's a lot of other people that should be standing here. Amen? Come on. I don't know about you, but every week of my life, somebody say every week. Every week of my life, and my worship team can tell you because we together, I'm sending a message like a couple of days ago, I sent them a message. Hey guys, here's the sermon for the week. Why don't you take a few minutes and just contact 12 people. That's a dozen, right? That's how they pack eggs, right? That's a dozen people. Just send that message out and just say, hey, pastor's preaching this week on whatever, walking with the Lord. Why don't you join me this Sunday? Every week of my life, you know what I do? I love to do it, man. I love to invite people to church. Amen? I love to invite people to church. And a lot of them haven't come yet. Amen? I'm not talking about people that I've just labeled as, oh man, she needs God or he needs God. I'm talking about people that I know, yes, some of them may need the Lord, but I also know a lot of people who they have a relationship with God, but guess what they're missing in their life? They're missing collective gathering. A lot of people, listen, are leaning on the crutches of pandemic and not coming back to church. Oh man, what are they missing? I don't know about you, but man, I stood over here on the side this morning. And I just watching you guys. I watch people give in the offering. I'm looking at cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You know what that is? The faithfulness of God's people. Just to bring the tithe. Thank you, Corey, for that admonition. It might have been a seven-year-old story, but you know what? It's a reality. To bring that admonition to people, this is what we do. We give. Let a man set aside at the first day of the week in keeping. Now listen, if you're making a living, you know, and you think $5 is in keeping for you to give to the Lord, think again, okay? God's not shortchanging you. Don't shortchange him, okay? Give him the best. Come on. Give him the best. Give him something that you feel, okay? Give him something that you feel. Give him something. You go to Walmart this afternoon, some of you are going to spend far more than you put in the bucket this morning. Mm-hmm. Got quiet in here, man. Welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Ahoskie. Amen. Listen, just give. Give. You cannot outgive the Lord. Amen. Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I cause men to pour into your bosom. I don't know about you, but I just have tried so hard to be faithful with what God has given me. And every time I give, I'm just amazed at what God's return is. Everything you give God has a tremendous return. Amen. You give him your life receives a tremendous return. Come on. You give him your soul, he gives you a tremendous return. Now you know what it is to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You give him your time, and God will bless your time. You give him your finance, and God will bless your finance. He's a good God. He's a good God. You know what I feel in my spirit right now? Is that you, like me, have people that you have invited, and they haven't come yet. How many of you have got that? You've been inviting this person. Look at that. And they haven't come yet. Can we just send out a collective prayer together? Because the Bible says where two or three shall agree on something, it's a done deal. So you just think about that person right now. That person, those persons, those that group of people that you've tried so hard to reach out and love them. And say, hey, man, I know you'd be welcome here. I know you'd be welcome. A lot of people don't come to church because they have concerns about, you know, what it will be like. And you know what? You got the live broadcast, and I send that out to people. I send out clips. I send out sermon titles every week to bunches of people. Hey, join me this week. I'm preaching a message on so-and-so. And sometimes I get surprised, and I look out there, and wow, they're here. Amen? It does my heart so good. Pray with me right now. Just remember that person. Come on, put them on your spirit right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before you today, God, with a tremendous spirit of expectancy that you, God, would open. We sang about it this morning. You made a way. You made a way for me. Lord, I pray that you would make a way for those persons that are in our spirits right now collectively. God, if you said you'd move mountains. God, move mountains. Whatever's standing in their way, insecurity, fear, concerns, uncertainties. God, whatever it is, I curse that in Jesus' name. I cast that out. And I believe in God that you are going to open up opportunities for those persons that we are connecting with to join us here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and worship God in the beauty of holiness. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for that sweet, gentle presence and spirit of God that we feel right now. Guard our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Come on, give him praise, would you? Give him praise. Hallelujah. There you go. You made a way, Lord. You made a way. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. So glad to be with you today. So glad to be with you. And those of you that are watching online, thank you. Thank you for being here. And other countries of the earth, 182 nations of the earth tuning in. Come on, somebody say God made a way. He did. He did. And we thank him for allowing us the opportunity to share the gospel, share the good news with the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you for the worship team. Guys, you just... Wow, you bless us, man. Such an anointing on what God is doing. And we appreciate you being here today. I just want to speak a word to you today that's really so simple. I finished the message, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, and I was just looking at the message, and I was thinking, God, that's kind of short. I said, yeah, that's kind of short. But he said, you allow me to put the meat on what I've given you. You allow me to do the work. And so I trust him in that. I'm praying that today God will take what is said here and speak to our hearts. I heard Kaisha use a phrase when she was expounding on what she was singing. She said something about in my walk with God. We call it a walk. Amen. We call it a walk. It's a walk with God. And I thought, Lord, you're so good because you always send little ways that you confirm your word. And so today we're talking about walking with God. Walking with God. I just feel a peace on this house today. Amen. Don't you just receive that? Just sit there and soak that in for a second. Just receive that. Let's slip your hands up. Slip your hands up all over this room. Some of y'all need this stress-free moment right now. Some of you need this blanket. I hear the Lord say blanket. This blanket of his anointing just to rest on you. Some of you are troubled in your spirit. Some of you have things that you're trying to decide. Some of you made decisions this week that are already made, and you're wondering, did I do the right thing? Won't you just receive from the Lord right now? You know, I love Pentecostal churches. I like noise. But I like moments like this too. I like the quiet. I like Psalm 46 that says, be still. Just be still and know that I'm God. And for some of you right now, the Lord is speaking to the turmoil of your heart. There are people in this room right now, your heart's in turmoil. And you've come here today. And when you leave, your heart's not going to be in turmoil. Salvations, I believe in for salvations today. There's not been a Sunday this year that we haven't had people saved. Today's the day of salvation, says the Lord. Scared of quiet. I grew up Baptist. Okay? Baptists make the best Pentecostals you've ever seen. Amen? Because they teach their people when they're young. As a royal ambassador, I would do my best to become a well-informed, responsible follower of Christ, to have a Christ-like concern for all people, to work with others in sharing the Christ, to keep myself clean and healthy in mind and body. I learned that as a boy. In a Baptist church. Squire, Knight, Page, Pathfinder, got all the pins. And God deposited into me in those days. So I grew up on that. And today I'm unashamedly Pentecostal. I speak in tongues every day of my life. Well, I don't. Well, you should try it. You get to. Well, I don't know anything about it. Maybe you will by the end of the service. Okay. I like this. Some of you in ministry are getting a download right now. God's revealing things to you in the spirit. Ariana, come here. I'd be missing it all if I didn't call you up here. How are you doing today? I'm not trying to single you out, okay? You say, well, you did. No, I didn't. I was right, though, when I called you up here, didn't I? Would you lift your hands right now? Just lift your hand. I need some ladies up here. Come on, just love on this little girl right here. I need a couple of ladies. Just lift your hands. That's all right. Don't worry about the tears. They're flowing from your heart. Okay? Come on now. Y'all can hug her. Y'all can say, I can't hug her, but y'all can. Just wrap her up in the Holy Ghost there. Thank you, Lord. All right, let me share a couple of things with her. Let me share a couple of things with Ariana. I said a moment ago, I said, some of you have wandered in here. They heard me with turmoil in your heart. You know why I said that? Because I saw you and I see the turmoil of your heart. And you're wounded. You're wounded. But can I just tell you something? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, every lash, every beating that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. I believe God's healing you right now. I believe he's healing you. You know what your soul is? Your mind. Come on, point to your mind, your will, and your emotions. And God's healing that today. You know what repentance is? You know what it is? It's a change of mind. And the Lord, listen, somebody said, man, I can't believe he called her up there. You know what? I'll tell you something. God loves you so much that he pointed you out in my spirit today. That's how much he loves you. Lift your hands right now and love him. Lift your hands and love him. Come on, just love him. Just love him. Just love him. That's right. Just love him. Have you repented in your heart already? Have you done that already in this room today? You have? You've repented. You've asked Jesus to forgive you. All right. Wash you clean. All right. I've been following you on TikTok. Okay? Haven't I? Yeah. I've seen you on Facebook and TikTok. But the Lord's been following you closer than I have. Okay? Amen. Dorothy, you make sure everything's checked off on her. Give her one of those salvation booklets over there. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a baptism sheet that's going to pass through the congregation. Ariana, make sure your name's on there. Be wonderful to be baptized the same day your daddy is. Amen. Amen. Right, Kenny? That's right. Hey, Tammy. Good to see you. First Sunday since COVID. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Monumental faith, walking with God. Excited to bring you a second message on monumental faith today, walking with God. Last week we began in the book of Hebrews. as we define faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we cannot see. We said that faith is that which, here we go, hears the inaudible. Nobody else around you can hear it, but you do. You hear the inaudible. You hear the Lord speaking something to you. You see the invisible, that someone will come along. And the thing I've noticed about faith is you can have faith for something and somebody come along and say, I don't know about that. Anybody ever said that to you? I don't know about that. You say, I do. Why? Because you see the invisible. And then the third aspect we said about faith was faith does the impossible. Amen. Faith does the impossible. With men, some things are impossible, but with God, oh, come on, y'all. With God, all things are possible. Come on, give him praise. All things are possible. And we built the case for monumental faith, which is measured by its extent, by its greatness, by its size, by its effectiveness. Monumental means all of those things. It's great. It's effective. Its extent is immeasurable. It's great faith. We showed you in the Bible that you can have great faith. You can have little faith. Jesus said that to his disciples, O ye of little faith. These are the ones that were the closest to him, and he's telling them, hey, you guys need to tighten up. And then there's a situation where you can be in where you have no faith. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. So great faith, little faith, no faith. Somewhere you fall in there, okay? I'm praying that on the course of these weeks and months ahead of us, that you will find yourself in the category of monumental faith, great faith, amen? Believing God for incredible things. And we closed the service last week with God calling six people, six individuals to faith for him for salvation. Last week, six souls, six people who surrendered their lives to Jesus. One already this morning surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. Renewing their walk with him. That's what happened last week. And they had faith to what? Faith to be saved. They exercised faith to be saved. And then there were others who were exercising faith to be healed. In other words, we witnessed in our midst yet last week monumental faith. God doing exploits. The Bible says that signs and wonders shall follow what? The preaching of the Word of God. So if you preach the Bible, don't be surprised by proof. Don't be surprised. If you preach healing, don't be shocked at all. In fact, you'd be expecting that people are going to get healed. Today we continue that journey as we talk about walking with God. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, two verses from this book where some people say Paul wrote. Others have different opinions. What's your opinion? Doesn't matter. Okay? Doesn't matter. By faith, the Bible says, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. We're quoting now from the Old Testament. We'll get there in a few minutes. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who did what? Pleased God. And without faith, he shifts gears here, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe, number one, that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Wow. What an interesting collection of words concerning one of the faith examples. Some preachers of old have called this the hall of faith. Amen? I've heard preachers preach it all my life. The hall of faith, those godly biblical examples of choice people that God recognizes as people of faith. And here he talks about a man named Enoch. Now you may or may not be familiar with Enoch, but this Hebrews introduction of him certainly causes us all to ponder just a few questions. Why was he chosen? Why was Enoch chosen by God to be taken from the earth rather than to go by the normal path? Garrett's funeral home. Hunter's funeral home. You know, Reynolds funeral home. He didn't go by the normal path. How was it that he made this level of God commendation that he could experience a divine launching, if you will? Can't you see it right now? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom! Enoch is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, CNN reporting right here from Jerusalem. Enoch has been translated. Wherever he was, he left. He didn't die. There's only two people in the Bible that experienced that. Who's the other one? Elijah. How come I only hear preachers' voices when I ask questions? Okay. It's okay to answer, all right? Elijah and Enoch, the double E's, they took off with a launch, okay? So why was that? This personal rapture, this personal catching away that they had. And what was it that caused him to please God so well? I guess the best way to look at Enoch's life would be to go back to the Old Testament book of beginnings, which is the book of Genesis. Genesis means beginnings. Genesis, chapter number 5. It really gives you a genealogy that starts with the first man. His name was what? Adam, and goes to Adam's son, not Cain, not Abel, but Seth, then to Noah. In other words, it's the line, what we call in scholarly traditions, it's the line of righteous men. Because if you study Cain, you're not going to find righteousness, okay? Cain was like a Rambo, man. He was out there trying to, you know, he was out there going for blood, okay? And for the wrong reason. Rambo had good reasons. Cain didn't. Okay? Cain is out there going for it. And a spirit of jealousy and the ministry, what I've called the ministry of comparison. Don't ever compare yourself to anybody. Because that is a prescription for a mess up. I just don't get it, man. I look at Pastor Wallace and, but yeah, I just don't get it, man. I'm checking out James here. You know, check out somebody, but don't compare yourself to anyone. Because you have your own destiny that God has assigned to you before you were even born. Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, ordained you for whatever he's called you to do. So don't compare yourself to other people. Genesis 5 gives you that genealogy, and if you know anything at all about the first beings on the earth, then you know that Cain wasn't considered in a righteous line. He did unrighteous things. He was a murderer, killed his brother named Abel, but Seth was a part of the righteous line. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 18 to 24. When Jared, he's the one who started the jewelry business, come on. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years. Check out these guys, man. I got a long time to go. Amen. 800 years, and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total, come on, check this guy out, 962 years, and then he died. Some of y'all, you know, all your life you've read is like, I don't know about that. I'm going to help you with that today, okay? You're going to leave here believing it, all right? 962 years, and then he died. Verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, that's my kind of years right there, okay? I understand Enoch. Him and I are, you know, right along the same age, all right? I'm staring at Medicare just as hard as I can, all right? When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, wait a minute, Lord, I don't want any more kids, okay? He became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah is not the kind of name you find when you're looking in those little books when you're waiting for your groceries to be checked out at Food Line. Those little books out there that you, I remember picking up one day in a Husky, and we were, you know, we were expecting Zach, and I was thinking, man, I need to find a name. And I saw Zach in there. I thought, man, that's cool. I like Zach. Nobody names their kid Zach. And then we had a Zach, and guess what? It's kind of like when you bought your F-150, you thought, man, I'm going to get that truck because nobody in my area has got that color. You bring it home that day and you pass by somebody says, hey, your wife says, hey, I saw you over in Elizabeth City. What were you doing? I saw your truck. After you got one, everybody's got one. You ever notice that? We didn't think that anybody had kids named Zach, and my grandfather was named Zach, so we named him Zach, and now everybody's got Zach, okay? So Methuselah is not one of those names. In fact, it probably didn't even reach the top 1,000, okay? I don't know anybody who has a kid named Methuselah. The Bible says after he became the father of Methuselah, something happened. I want you to look at this. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to do much speculation. After he became the father, are you with me? Then Enoch did what? Walked faithfully with God for 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. And then he was no more because God took him away. Let me share a few thoughts with you about this passage. It sounds so foreign to where we are today in our life and living. The first thing is, we live in decades. They lived in centuries. Are y'all clear on that? We lived in decades, 10 years. They lived in centuries. You say, man, what's all this about, Pastor? I'm going to help you. We lived in decades, but they lived in centuries. Adam, 930 years. Jared, 962 years. Methuselah, record here, homeboy, lived 969 years. That's a long time. Well, you had a more pure genetic pool. You did. You had a more pure genetic pool in those days. Less diseases, less deterioration, less things to vie against you, to go against you in life and living, a greater, more effective genetic pool. Prior to the flood, we had much greater soil. You had greater soil prior to the flood. More nutrient-rich soils. Have you ever noticed that? Now you're doing this right now. You're going over to Lowe's. You know, I did this yesterday. $300. I just got a few bags of this and a few bags of that. And you got this name brand, Scotch. You got the best, man. You didn't get no option. No, I want Scotch. And you got the best because it is the best soil. Okay? Can I just tell you something? It don't hold a light to the soil we're talking about today. Because this planet has been through so much. This planet has been through so much. We had greater soil in the pre-flood days. More nutrient-rich soil, healthier because the earth, here we go, had not faced the catastrophe like the flood. Catch this now. I'm trying to help you understand how a man could live 900 years because we had much more nutrient-rich soil. Scientists have believed that before the flood, there was a canopy stretched out across the earth. There was a canopy that God created. It was a canopy of water. It was a water vapor barrier on humanity so that the UV, the ultraviolet rays, could not negatively affect your life. I mean, right now, some of you are catching up on, SPF, and you're getting all the banana boat and all that stuff. You're going to put it on your skin to protect you because you want to go to the beach. And you know, that stuff will eat you, it will burn you up, man. It'll burn you up. It'll mess you up. It'll make you look like a prune before your time. You know, I stand in front of the mirror nowadays and I look and I got all these blemishes and all these spots. If I took my shirt off right now, you'd declare I was a Dalmatian. Y'all weren't supposed to laugh, man. I'm just being honest with you. I was with my grandchild yesterday and we were talking about the beautiful birthmark on her right knee, like bless her heart, one spot. Come on. Pastor Joy says, you ought to see Pop's back. I said, what? She said, you ought to see Pop's back. Pop, show her your back. So I peeled off my shirt and she said, wow. I said, man, I look like a Dalmatian, don't I? And she just laughed. But you know what that's from? Years and years. Take your shirt off, no hat on your head. You don't take care of your skin. Man, now you guys are pumping collagen like you're overdosing. Okay? You're trying to make your skin healthy at this point in your life. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I'm doing the same thing, okay? And I'm 62 years old. So listen, we had this canopy, this God-given canopy over top of us that watched over humanity. God had created a vapor barrier, all right, to protect humanity from ultraviolet rays. And so that's the way God designed it, a canopy of protection. You know what happens when you get too much sun? Yes, you end up with the wrinkles. And then you must also realize that prior to the flood, before the flood, no storms, no tornadoes, none of that stuff, okay? Can I just tell you something else? No rain. Man, some people say, I ain't never heard that before. Welcome to the Bible, okay? No rain, okay? Prior to the flood. And all the water for the crops, the vegetation, came up from the earth, okay? Came up from the earth to water the earth. The Bible gives you clear definition in the creation narrative. I think it's Genesis chapter 2, verse number 6. I didn't put it in there, but we're going to be talking about that a little more next week anyway. But I think it's Genesis 2, 6 that he has springs of water, one translation says, that comes from the earth to water the earth. So really you had a very different planet in those days. And a very different planet means what? A very different lifespan. Okay? Some of you can't even watch TV at night without somebody trying to sell you some super beats or something that's just discovered in the recesses of the greatest other side of Africa. And they put it in a little container in Arizona somewhere and think that you're going to buy it and you're going to lose 50 pounds in 30 days and you're just going to be a brand new human being because of superfoods. No, you got some super shyster business person who's know how to make money off of you. Okay? And listen, the planet has changed. The planet has changed. So that's one reason why human beings lived so much longer. Secondly, Enoch is listed and talked about more than any other man on the Genesis 5 list. More than Adam, the first man. More than Noah, who was one of the most notable men in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. Enoch is listed 5 times. I counted them. So Enoch is really the focus of the Genesis 5 story, a very important person. Thirdly, Enoch was the 7th from Adam, 7 generations. So from Adam to Enoch, there's 7 generations. And if you go to the New Testament, that long book of Jude explains that to you. Okay? He gives you the generations in the New Testament. Fourthly, the only man in the entire list of these generations until you get to Noah that is described as a man who did what? Who walked with God was Enoch. Think about it. You've got all these human beings, and there's only one man that the Bible says he walked with God. I want you to think about this for a bit. Some of you are just so caught up right now. And man, we had another shooting in Ahoskie this week. This place is getting so dangerous. Can I just tell you, the earth has been far more wicked than we live in right now. Okay? Some of y'all think that, listen, you need to have your eyes open. You are not living in the most times of wickedness that the earth has ever known. Next week, I'm probably going to shock some of you by some of the things that I'll share next week. But listen, it's just true. It's the Bible. I want to give you the Bible. The Bible tells us that there was a time when God really, really repented in his heart. He wished that he had not even made humanity. And so he took care of that by sending something that the earth had never experienced before, and that was a flood. Okay? And once God broke that cycle of no rains, now you know what he uses those things for? Storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, water, too much water. You know what he uses it for? Help me here. A type of what? Don't be afraid to say it. I'll say it for you. Judgment. Okay? God will use those things as a type of judgment. In fact, he has a track record in the Bible of once that thing was broken, then God really used that issue to get people's attention. He would send droughts upon the land. He would send a season where there'd be no rain and the heavens were shut up. Okay? And it would take the prophet of God to deal with such matters. And so we'll get to that another time. But the only man who, in the entire list of the generations that had ever walked with God, was Enoch up to this point. And it's interesting to me that you read about the righteous line of Adam's family that began with his son Seth. And nobody else, not one at all, is described as a man who walked with God. You don't hear of anyone else who pleases God this way, walks with God this way, like Enoch, until you get to another man by the name of Noah. No one else, no one at all, described as a man who walks with God. What is it about Enoch that pleased the Lord so much that God was to decide, hey, I'm going to pull him from the earth to be up here with me? I would submit to you that Enoch displayed a monumental faith, an amazing display of faith that was measured so great that God's desire was for Enoch to be with him. Monumental faith is characterized by men and women who walk with God. Are you walking with God, or are you just coming to church? There's a difference, you know. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24 again. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who did what? Pleased God. I think it's important that you get this. Understand this. At the time of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament, don't miss this. At the time of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament, which was written in what language? Hebrew. It was translated into the language of the day, which was Greek, in a translation that was called the Septuagint. You say, Pastor, do I really need this? I just want to make a point here. When you're studying, maybe you bought a commentary and you say, man, I can't even understand half of this stuff. Well, when you're reading your commentaries and you see an L and an X, it's LXX. That is an abbreviated way of saying that was from the Septuagint. The Septuagint, that Greek translation of the Old Testament in the time of Jesus Christ. The Septuagint. You and I are used to the what? The King James Version, the NIV, the NLT, which are all translations of our day. It's not any different than that. It was a translation for the people of that time, the Septuagint. And the reason that I want you to know this is that the Septuagint, somebody say Septuagint. The Septuagint translated this phrase, walked with God. They translated it as pleased God. So that, here we go, the terminology walked with God and pleased God are interchangeable. So when you're walking with God, what are you doing? You're pleasing God. When you're pleasing God, what are you doing? You are walking with God. Are you getting this? I just want you to understand. So friends, look at this. Hebrews 11, 6a, and without faith, you cannot please God. So God is speaking to our hearts in this season of our life, and he wants to move us a little farther along the journey in our faith. God wants to stretch your faith. God wants to stretch your faith. And so he allows various circumstances, various things to come to try you as though some strange thing were happening to you and I. But we need to rejoice as we're partakers of not only the sufferings of Christ, but we're partakers of a journey of faith where God is trying to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be so that we in turn can be a blessing to other people that we meet along the way who are also walking through this thing we call life. Amen? It's life. Welcome to living. This is not a tiptoe through the tulips experience. Life is hard. It comes with tests, trials, tribulations, hardships. But listen, you have to keep your hand in God's hand. You have to allow God to walk with you. You can join with the songwriter, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm in his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, there's not another person that could ever know this. Why? Because I'm walking with God. He speaks, and the sound of his voice. God wants you to know him. You know, that's a powerful word right there. Paul said this. He said that I may what? Know him. You know what that word meant, know, means? To be naked before him. Let that one sink in for a second. To know him, to know God, is to be naked before him. That means you ain't hiding nothing. God knows you, friend. You may think you got it hidden. God knows everything about you. The Bible says the hairs on your head are numbered. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without his awareness. God knows you. Okay? And he wants you to know him. He's got so much for you. He's got so much for you. He has a destiny assigned to your life. And right now you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you and tell you that he's calling you to take a walk with him, a walk of monumental faith, great faith, faith like you've not experienced before, faith that will take you to places that you've never been before, faith that will cause you to live in a capacity that you've never lived before. This thing's deeper than going to church. This thing's deeper than saying, hey, we had a good service. I love good services, but life is bigger than a good service. What happens when you walk outside of these doors and you go to your normal life and living Monday through Saturday? What are you doing to impact the kingdom of God that will last for eternity? How many souls did you win to Christ this last week? How many times did you read your Bible and get alone with God? How many times did you say, Lord, I need you to touch me today. I need your anointing today like I've never needed it before. How many times did you stand before God and say, Lord, I'm just here. I don't need a thing. I just want to tell you that I love you, God. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. Just want to know you, Lord. Just want to come clean with you. I want you to know me. I want to know you. That's monumental faith. Not just going to church. It's knowing God. It's walking with God. Listen, it's deeper than, well, I believe in God. I've had people tell me all the time, oh, yeah. Oh, I believe in the Lord. The devil believes. The Bible says the devil believes in what? He trembles. It's more than you just believing. It's about you placing your faith and your trust in him. It's like you and God got this divine connect going on. And you're walking with him. I want you to notice the life of Enoch here in Genesis 5, 21 and 22. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Can I just submit to you this morning that Enoch did not walk with God the first 65 years of his life? Okay? He didn't. But something happened in his life that made a tremendous difference. What happened to him? He had a son. He became the father of Methuselah. And after that, the Bible clearly says that Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. You ask, what happened? He had kids. Man, that'll take your prayer life, your faith walk on a whole new level to be trusted with kids. I'm telling you. It'll take you down a different journey. And guess what? We laugh about it today, but guess what? The same is true for a lot of people sitting in this room. You can look back in your spiritual journey and in your walk with God, and you never really got serious about this thing until God trusted you to be in the hospital one day, and your wife just gave birth to a baby, and now you're thinking, man, we got to tighten up, man. We got to teach this child how to live for God. And what you're saying is, because we haven't been living for him. That's what you're saying. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you had children, God shook your world and you said, you know what? I got to get my stuff in order. Come on. I got to get my stuff in order because I've messed up a lot along the way, but now I got a child. And this is what happened to Enoch. He has a child named Methuselah. And guess what? People name their kids in a different manner in which we name our kids. We talk about it. We think it sounds good. But you know what they did? They sought the living God. They asked the Lord for a name for their children. Or they somehow just in their spirit, and they just, I guess I'm just going to name him Methuselah. Okay? Then all of a sudden you come to realize what Methuselah means. And you realize, whoa. You know, I named my daughter Abigail. I'm sitting in a church service in Askeville one night, the storming rain. And I was sitting there early before the service, and I was looking in my Bible, and Joy's pregnant, and we're going to have a child. And I found this Abigail in the Bible, in the back. And it said, Abigail means a father's joy. I just kind of punched Joy and said, hey, check this out. She goes, okay, all right, I like that. And guess what Abigail is? She's her father's joy. Okay, she's a daddy's girl, okay? All right, this guy named his kid Methuselah. You know what Methuselah means? Whew. Man, this is tough. What does Methuselah mean? When he is dead, it will be sent. What? Name the boy Methuselah. His name means when he is dead. Who's dead? Methuselah. When he is dead, it will be sent. And we don't really know the full story here, but we do know this. God had spoken to Enoch. And God is saying to him, listen, you've had a child born, and you're going to name him Methuselah. And when this child dies, I'm going to send judgment upon the earth. You always just think about Methuselah as the guy who lived the longest. But he was a marking point for God's judgment on the earth. Methuselah, the marking point for God's judgment. This shook Enoch so much that he had this divine encounter with God. And from that moment on, Enoch walked with God. I'm submitting to you this morning that this is exactly what happens to some of us today. Some of you in this room could walk us back in your life to some significant season, some significant experience in your life where you feel like God spoke to you, and from that point on, you begin to walk with God. Last Sunday, I was watching the altar service. When the altar service is going on, I don't engage in a lot of prayer with people, because I've raised up a team that does that kind of thing, and I watch them, and I stand, and they're praying for you, and I'm over here on the side, and I'm praying for them. God, let them get the mind of the Spirit. Let them pray the words that need to be prayed. Give them prophetic utterances over these people. I'm praying for them as they pray for you. And I watched last Sunday as Pastor Mike was praying for a man who had given his life to Christ, and I looked in that man's face, and his face was broken, and his soul was coming out to his eyes, and everything in him, he was receiving a download from Calvary. He was receiving a download from the Holy Spirit, and God was touching him, and I was seeing him broken before the Lord. And it's moments like that that will mark you. When you walk out of a facility like this and you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you will never forget that moment when the Holy Ghost showed up and laid his hand on you that day. I watched this man as he was broken before God. And that's what happens. Those marks of significance in our life. Some of you could tell me stories today of seasons of your life when God has done incredible things. Seasons of your life when God has just done things. Ben Blystone, sitting over here to your left, to my right. Him and I have been exchanging conversation. Weeks ago, he beautifully gave his life to Jesus Christ, was baptized in water baptism. Him and I have sat down and had a meal together, and we talk about fishing and those kinds of things. But there's a word that he's used to me two or three times in a text message or from his lips. Pastor Wallace, something has shifted. He's used the word shift. I could show it to you on my text. There's a shift in my life. Great service today, Pastor. I felt something else shift in my life. Can I just tell you something? God is indeed shifting things in your life, Ben. And guess what? Anybody else who will submit themselves to the things of God and give your life wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ, you get ready for the shift. It's going to happen in your life, in my life, in the lives of everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. God wants to give you a shift. Amen. He wants to give you a shift. Shift me, Lord. Shift me all you want to, because the path I was walking wasn't working for me. Okay? Lives are changed. Lives are transformed. They no longer walk after the ways of the world, but they begin to walk with God. I sent him a text message this morning. Hey, Ben, hope to see you today. He said, man, it's already an amazing day. God has given us a beautiful day. I'm thinking, man, God, you got a hold of this guy. Now he's talking positive things, powerful things, witnessing powerful words from his mouth. Listen, God wants to change your life like he changed Ben and anybody else who's been up to this altar in the last several weeks. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. He changes us, and he causes us to march to the beat of a different drum. Why? Because of monumental faith. Because of marked moments in our life, like in the life of Enoch. 65, has a kid, his whole life changes. And he's walking with God. Maybe today God's calling you to walk with him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to tell you that you're his own. He wants to love you unconditionally. He wants to walk with you. God is waiting for you to walk with him. I'm amazed at this text. As you look at the life of Methuselah, he lived longer than any other human ever. And I'm thinking, God, listen, his daddy made it to 365 years, but then this guy comes along and lives almost three times, 969 years. Why? Because God really wants justice. He really does for the sin issue in this world. God really knows he has to judge sin, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. He's long-suffering. He's still waiting. I know some of you are thinking, you know what? I've always heard all my life that Jesus is coming again. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is coming again, but he's holding back because there's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is ever making intercession saying, God, have your way on this earth. Save the lost. Bring people from darkness to light. Save people, God. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 and 10, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day in the Lord will come like a thief. A thief don't give you no warning. Two nights before Christmas, 1983, I lived in a 14 by 70 mobile home in Edenton, North Carolina. I had all the presents bought. Everything was wrapped and under the tree, and I was a retail worker. I worked for Hofheimer Shoes in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. My wife worked at Shoe Show in Edenton. We were in retail. It was the Christmas season. You know what we're doing. We're working every night. Can I get off? You know, we got to look. No. Need you, man. Retail sales. We worked retail all the way up to Christmas Eve. Couldn't get off. I come home. It was in the days of no cell phones. I came home after getting off work. I got home before Joy did. And I pulled up in my driveway. And my house was pitch dark. I thought, wow, the world's going on out here. I lived in the country. You know, we had pigs, roosters, guineas. I lived in the country. And it was pitch black out there. And I walk in the door, and it was the days of phones that you plugged in the wall. Think of that, okay? The phone is off the hook, laying in the floor. I said, man, what in the world is this? I turned the lights on, and the entire house was empty. I thought, what in the world? And first thing I thought was, I got to get my gun. I had a Remington 1100 gas-operated gun in my bedroom. I went in the bedroom, turned the light, don't reach for the gun, no gun. There was nothing in my house. Thieves had come and backed up a truck. And when they got to the bottom of it, there were three trucks involved. They backed up trucks to my house because they knew this boy works retail and so does his wife. And they ripped us off of everything in my home. The next morning, I had to go to the store to buy clothes for Joy and I to wear. Stole everything. And guess what? We didn't get a warning. Nothing. They stole everything we had. Jesus Christ is coming like a thief. He's told us in his word that he's coming, but guess what? when it happens, people are going to be just, you know, marrying and giving in marriage, partying it up, having a good time, living their life like they got forever. Then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is going to come. And he's holding off, and he's held off. And he's holding off, and he's held off. Why? Because he's a loving God. But you can count on him, man. You can take it to the bank. He's coming again. He's coming in the clouds to take the church away, to take the saved away, to take the prepared ones away. He's going to translate us, just like Enoch went, up like a launch. There'll be a catching away. Like he took Enoch, the Bible says he was taken. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, King James. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to happen. I love the way Paul closes out this passage at the end. He says, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Let this bring you comfort. Let this bring you hope that one day we're going to be caught away. We're going to be translated. Enoch was taken because he had a faith that was monumental. Enoch walked with God. You and I have a faith in Jesus Christ that is monumental. It's a great faith that we trust in him to die on the cross of Calvary, be placed in a borrowed tomb, and rise again on the third day. It's a faith in Jesus Christ to do what he did for you and I and for whosoever will. He died for us and he rose again and he's ever seated at the right hand of the Father today interceding for us. And one day he's going to come back like he said. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming. Listen, Methuselah died 969 years old. And his name meant, when he is dead, then it will be sent. God said, after Methuselah dies, I'll send my judgment. And he did. After the death of Methuselah, what happened? The flood came. Never rained before. So what an act of faith. Noah is telling everybody, it's going to rain, man. It's going to rain. He didn't even know what rain was. It had never happened before. Genesis 6:5-7, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. And God sent his judgment like he said he would. But there was another man whom the Lord found walking with him. The second guy that walked with God, his name was Noah. Genesis 6:8. And Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God spared his life and the lives of his son and their wives. And 8 human beings and a host of animals took that journey in the ark of safety. I'm just like you. I wish they'd have left the mosquito off the boat. But they didn't. Amen. And God used him to replenish the earth. And Noah was a man who was found doing what? Walking with God. Enoch, the key figure of the pre-flood days of Noah, walked with God and God took him. Listen, friends, today you and I are upon the face of an earth that is again filled with wickedness and sin. People are Christ rejectors. People are chasing all other kinds of sinful lifestyles. People are in love with themselves and they're seeking only themselves. And can I just tell you sincerely and honestly today, judgment is again going to visit this earth when Christ descends to take the church away. Listen, a lot of people are confused. They go to church a little bit, just enough to know enough to be dangerous. They think when you say Jesus is coming again, they think that when he comes back, he's coming back straight to the earth. He's not. He's only coming down halfway. We're going to rise up to meet him in the air. Then he's going away. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then begin 7 years, 7 years of hell on earth, 7 years of the wrath of God, the time of Jacob's trouble called the what? The tribulation, 7 years. And at the end of that, then Jesus comes down. Zechariah covers it really well. When you go to Israel, you have your mind blown. You'll stand there in the Mount of Olives. You'll be standing there in the favorite place of Christ on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is going to put his feet down. And the Bible says in the book of Zechariah that when he comes, the Kidron Valley will bust wide open and split, and for the first time, living water will run into the Dead Sea. And Christ will lead the armies of the host of heaven. And the followers of Christ, the Christ followers, those who were changed by the blood of the Lamb. And victory will be ours, and we will rule and reign with him forever. Listen, get some Bible in you. Don't worry about what the TV said or somebody else said. Study the Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed but can rightly divide the word of truth. This is truth to your ears. Christ is coming again. Pastor, I wish you wouldn't talk about stuff like this. It's scaring me. I'm not meant to scare you at all. I'm meant to prepare you for that which is to come. Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's only coming for those who are ready to meet him. Are you ready? Are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? Or are you just sitting up in the church house? Just a good thing to do. Well, I threw $10 in the plate. Keep your money. If you're not giving it out of a heart of gratitude and generosity to God, and because his Bible says that we're to do it, keep your money. It's not doing any good for you. Wow. Jesus talked about money. He said, before you come down here and bring it, what do you need to do? Examine your heart. Take your funds back with you, get your heart right, and then come bring your money back. That's kind of rough. The Bible is rough, okay? Everything I've read in it is rough, okay? Because you know what the Bible does? It crucifies you. It puts you on the cross, and you die to your own ways, and you die to your selfishness, and you die to your own self, and you arise to life in Christ Jesus, which is the abundant life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. I'm a part of the abundant life. Amen? The life of abundance. When the rapture comes, the church will leave. Tribulation begins 7 years. And we've chosen faith in God's plan. Faith in God's plan. Faith not in our plan, but in God's plan. And you know what I've discovered about this walk? I've been walking with God for a number of years. And just like I do now, sometimes I've noticed that in my 60s, I stump my toe a lot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I stump my toe a lot. My gait is not as good as it used to be. I've fallen down 2 or 3 times in the last 4 or 5 months, and first thing I do is look and see if anybody saw me. You know? I was going into the bank in Elizabeth City the other day. My wife and I took a Wallace and Joy day, and we just said, hey, I said, baby, I got to unplug. She said, what do you want to do? I said, let's go to a movie. So we went to see a movie, sitting in probably a 200-seat capacity movie. Her and I were the only people in there watching the movie. 5-gallon bucket of popcorn and an endless supply of Coke Zero. But we got there a little early. And so I said, hey, I gotta go to the bank. I got to transfer some money. So I went, got out of the car and went to the bank, and she was sitting on the rider's side, and I got out of the car, and as fate would have it, I stumped my toe, and my phone just flies out like that, you know. And I looked around just to see if she saw me. and she was busy doing something on the phone. She didn't see me. She looked up and she said, when I got back in the car, she said, what'd you do, drop your phone? I said, I dropped my whole body. Okay, I dropped my whole body. I dropped my whole body. What are you saying, Pastor? Hold on now. Hold on to your seat. In my walk with God, sometimes I've stumped my toe. And sometimes you would think that I had dropped my whole body. I acted this kind of way. I acted the other way. I said things out of my mouth that didn't sound like one of God's people. Well, I thought you was a preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes I haven't pleased God. But the beautiful thing about it is God didn't just kind of take his left foot and kick me out of the fellowship. Because when we do sin, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he looks at us, James, and he says, hey, there's one of my righteous ones. Because when he looks at us, he doesn't see James. He sees the blood. Okay. Are y'all getting this? Are you getting this? He sees the blood, Rico. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see my behavior. He doesn't see my disappointments. He doesn't see my mess. He sees the blood. And he allows me to brush off my knees. Come on, Wallace, let's keep walking. Okay? I'm walking with God. Listen, friends, I'm telling you, this is a win-win. Okay? This is a win-win. You make a mistake. He says, what mistake are you talking about? Oh, come on, Lord. You see, what Jesus does with your sin is he casts it as far as the east is from the west. And he takes your transgressions and he tosses them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. Now, that doesn't mean, let me help you here. Some of you just think, wow, man, I just keep getting drunk then, I guess. No. Romans chapter 6, I'm off the sermon now, but I'm going for it. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we just continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we change the hymn to go, I once was lost in sin, and here I go again? No. He says, God forbid. Don't use the grace of God as a license. I got a license in my, well, there's my license to preach right there. Got a license to preach the gospel. Don't use the grace of God as a license for wrongdoing. So, well, you know, I got a permit. There's my driving license. I put my preaching license on top of my driver's license because of the role of importance in my life, okay? So you don't use the grace of God as a license to do wrong. Pastor said, God loves me, God forgives me. He says, it's finished. Yeah, it is. But you don't. Paul rebuked the church at Rome and said, look, don't you, God forbid. One translation says, by no means. Don't you dare take the grace of God and abuse it that way to give yourself permission to live like you want. You know what? I can honestly say that I feel that there's a depth of work that's going on in this room today that I can't even gauge. I believe that. Could I have my prayer team here? Could just come. Ministers, just get yourself ready. Brother Frank, you and your wife, Brenda, come on and join us here. Gather across the front. This is Pastor Frank and Brenda. I introduced you to them a few weeks ago. They're feeling in their heart that God is saying to them, come to Ahoskie. Just want to help. Just want to help in the ministry. God bless you, man. You're already coming up to the altar, huh? That's cool. Holy Ghost is just powerful, isn't he? I like you. So, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Okay? I remember when I went to NC State, I was a pest management major. I studied bugs. My entomologist, his name was Dr. Charles Wright. Tall, lanky man, about 6'8". He said, nothing wrong with having roaches in your house. We said, what? He said, it's not a shame to have roaches in your house. He said, but it's a shame to have roaches in your house and know about it and keep them. You take authority over those things and get them out of your house. So it's not a shame. You say, well, hey, man, I've missed the mark here some way. I messed up. I made some mistakes. There's nothing wrong with you making a mistake, but there's a lot wrong with you making a mistake, and you made a mistake, and you keep on making the same mistake, and you make another mistake, you know, over and over. The Bible says, let him that has died to sin live no longer in it. You don't just keep on doing it again and abuse the grace of God. So you come to an awareness today, Pastor, God is working in my heart. God's working in my life. I want different. I want monumental faith is speaking to my heart today to walk with God. I don't want to just come to church. I want to walk with God. I want God to do things in my life like he's never done before. I want to walk with God. If God's speaking to your heart, come on, let's everybody stand. God's speaking to your heart. Come on, step out of your seat. Let someone pray with you, believe with you. Maybe it's a new commitment for you. Maybe it's a recommitment for you. Maybe it's just, hey, Pastor, I just need to get some things off my spiritual chest. Whatever it is, let God do what God wants to do in your life today. Thank you, sir. Just move. Just move right there. That's right. Come on, give the Lord praise. God touching hearts today. Touching hearts today. People giving their heart to Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, Abdul. Yeah, I know you're on security, but come over here and lead this man to Jesus. Come on over here. Hallelujah. Lead this young man to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to your house. Go ahead. Make room for him. Listen, if you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm happy with where I am in the things of God, but I need healing in my body, or maybe I've got an emotional issue I'd like you to pray with me about. Whatever God is dealing with you about, please come. Let him touch you today. Make room for him to move in your heart, in your life. Come on. Let's let God do it.
Where I lay it down, yes, sir. Every day.
Come on, there's folks that can pray for you here. Step out of your seat. Forward this morning, make sure that you have one of these little red books. If you prayed with a counselor, prayed with a pastor, a minister, make sure that you get one of those books. If you didn't, slide right on back up here. And there's a card in there. And on the card it says, hey, I accepted Christ, or this was a recommitment for me, or I'd like to be baptized. We want to be better stewards of what God is doing in the lives of people, okay? So maybe you need to be baptized next Sunday. So we want to follow up with you on that way, and we'll add you on our text list for the ministry so you can know what's going on. Man, what incredible work at this altar today. I could feel, come on, give the Lord praise. I could just feel the intensity of what God is doing. in the lives. Salvations today or rededications to Jesus Christ, raise your hand right quick. Come on, there you go. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, touching your hearts. I want to walk with God. Walking with God. Going to continue next week on monumental faith and hear what the Lord says about Noah the navigator. Amen. He's the one who was trusted by God to prepare for this crazy judgment that God released at the death of Methuselah. Amen. Pastor, I heard something today I never heard before. Come on, raise your hand. Heard something today. Amen. Listen, let God enlarge your understanding. Enlarge your understanding from the word. Amen. So Joel, would you take us out of here, man? Come on up here, Joel. Take us out of here with a prayer today. Prayer for these that have come to the altar. Prayer for God to just solidify the work in the spirit in their hearts. And let's believe God for an incredible day. Listen, if you're a volunteer, if you serve in any capacity as a volunteer for the ministry, 5 o'clock today, Family Life Center, we're going to spend an hour or so together, share some things with you. We'll have some snacks back there. And so 5 o'clock today, if you're available to do that, God bless you.
Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for the salvations today, Lord. We thank you for the healings that's going on in this church, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the abundance and abundance that are coming to the Lord every week, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our pastor and the strong word, Lord. We pray for a hedge of protection over everybody today, Lord, and over this church. Lord, we ask for your blessings through the week, that we be profitable and do good works in your name, Lord. Lord, give us the boldness to go out and spread your word throughout the community and throughout the world, Lord. You tell us to go to the nations, Lord, embolden us to take up that calling and go, Lord. All this we pray in your heavenly name. Amen. Make sure you turn in your cards when you fill them out.